Hi, it's Terry Lynn. Here's some additional thoughts on Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. To begin with, I want you to understand that this is actually one sentence in the original language. It's the longest in the Bible. It's the longest sentence in the Bible. So imagine reading all of that as one sentence. Paul, when he was writing, he just had this thought and it just kept going in his mind. And I think we need to read it with that sort of enthusiasm that Paul must have had to just continue sharing this truth. What he's telling the readers, what he's telling the people at the Church of Ephesus is what God did for him, and then giving them hope about what God will also do for them. It is his testimony, and as he has shared what God has done for him, it leads him into this praise of what God desires to do individually and globally for all people. So that should tell us something about how we personally should respond to God's goodness toward us, that God's goodness in our lives, God's mercy in our lives, God's provision in our lives, all of those things should always lead us to a point of public praise for the Lord, where we're pointing all the glory back to him. And that's what Paul is doing. He's excellent at it. So we're going to look at this. I want us to see this picture of the Trinity within these verses. I think it's really important that we understand that. So let's look at the first few verses, verses 3 through 6. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless. In love before him, he predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he lavished on us in the beloved one. So if we look at those verses, what we see is this explanation of what God the Father has done for us. And in here we see that he has chosen us, that we have been adopted as sons, that we were predestined for this adoption. And so it gives us this picture of what God has done for us, right? And so we stay there and we recognize what a gift it is that we have been chosen by God from before the foundation of the world. I love that. That means before, if you go back to whatever was going on before Genesis 1:1, before God spoke the world into creation, he had already chosen and predestined us, had already made the determination that we would be adopted into his family. And so this is such a beautiful picture of our how precious we are to God, how significant we are to God, and how we can walk in confidence in this idea of being chosen and adopted by God. The second section of this passage we read, verses 7 through 12. In him, which is Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he richly poured out on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he purposed in Christ as a plan for the right time to bring everything together in Christ, both things in heaven and things on earth in him. In him, we have also received an inheritance because we were predestined according to the plan of the one who works out everything in agreement with the purpose of his will, so that we who already put our hope in Christ might bring praise to his glory. So in the second section, we see Jesus. So we've seen God the Father. Now we see God the Son, Jesus Christ, our redemption in here. We see in him, in Christ, we have been redeemed through his blood. If you think about that blood that he poured out richly on us, think about this in light of all the Old Testament sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 9, we read about how there was all the blood of all the lambs, the blood that had been spilt in sacrifice was insufficient. And so we reach this point with Christ on the cross where his blood is the sufficient payment for our sin. It is the necessary payment for the redemption of our sin. And so we have Christ as our Redeemer. And also we recognize that it is through Him that we receive the inheritance, because God had predestined, had already chosen us. And this was His plan, again, from before the foundation of the world. So before God ever spoke the words, "Let there be light," right? Before the canyons were carved out, before the mountains were shaped, before the animals were put on in place on the land, and the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, before God scooped out the dust to form Adam and then shaped Eve from Adam's rib, before all of that, He had planned out the redemption for us in Christ. It was not plan B. It was not something that happened because sin came along unexpectedly and God had to figure out a solution. The solution was in place before anything was ever created. So when there was just God, the Trinity there, when it was just the three who said, "Let us make man in His own image," the plan for our redemption was in place, and that plan was Christ, God the Son, coming to earth, wrapped up in flesh, to die on a cross and be redeemed, be resurrected so that we could have redemption. So we see God the Father in the first little section and God the Son in this middle section. And then we get to the third part of the Trinity, God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in the last few verses, verses 13 and 14. In Him, now we're talking about the Spirit, in Him you also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of His glory. I love this so much. The Holy Spirit seals us, marks us, okay? So there was a period of time when the king, when there were kings, and they wore the ring, the signet ring, and you've heard the story and how the ring sealed that it was from the king. And so the Holy Spirit is the seal on us that we now belong to the king, that we are His. And so we see then in verse 14 that the Holy Spirit is the down payment. Remember, Christ said when He ascended that it was going to be even better because then the Holy Spirit would come that would be with us. And so that was even better, He said, because Christ, when He was here on earth walking, could be in one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit as Spirit can be everywhere with all of us at all times. And so we see that we have this down payment of what it will be like ultimately when we are redeemed to the fullness of possession of God, which means that point when we are then raptured and called and pulled together with Christ in glory for all eternity. And so this presence of the Holy Spirit with us is the down payment on the eternal presence we will have with the full Trinity. So we have this hope here in this, and we see that all of this is designed for God's glory, to bring recognition and honor and renown to His name. So Paul is writing this and he's so excited because of this truth that's in there. So we realize this and we walk in this. So I hope that has helped you have a little deeper understanding of this passage, verses 3 through 14 in chapter 1 of Ephesians. So I encourage you, after you listen to this, to go back and read it again and just wrap yourself up in this simple truth. What we see is God the Father has chosen and adopted us. God the Son has redeemed us and received us as an inheritance, received us. And then finally, God the Spirit has sealed us. And so we are promised an eternal inheritance in Him. All right, enjoy that. The next session, the next little snippet that I'm going to share with you is from parts of chapter 1 and parts of chapter 2. So be sure and listen to the promises that we have in Him. That's the next video or next audio. Thanks so much.